start the meeting. Welcome, Honorable Bahrain, and appreciate your timely arrival into the committee room. And it's a show that in the next sixth term, you'll be back here, and then we'll be doing like you. We'll arrive in time as well.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, and also the same to Honorable Tongwana and Van Schalkwyk, and I can't say the same about myself and Honorable Harai. But I hope that we'll improve in the next few minutes and next few hours for next week's meeting. I'm sure all of us are aware that we have convened a special meeting on Tuesday, and which we need to make a special plea that honorable members then pitch up for that meeting, because that meeting we needed to solve the problem of the national minimum wage, somewhere around 10 o'clock. Yeah. Not necessarily in this room, but I think we'll get a notification, because it's a special meeting that's being arranged, and it has to be fitted in the rooms that may not be available, because ordinarily committees pre-book rooms, because that Tuesday is not our day of meetings. Probably we may be frustrated a little bit in locating a room, but given the fact that many committees are closing down, we may have plenty of rooms to use, and we should await notification from the committee service. Honorable members, today I think I hope you have got the agenda in front of you, that we're going to worry ourselves about the set of minutes of last week and the quarter one and quarter two report that we have dealt with the department and its entities, and then it is a legacy report of the committee. Those are the three things that we are going to worry ourselves with, and we do need a quorum right through all those from start to finish. But I hope that we're going to assist each other to finish in time. Otherwise, this is going to be a very long meeting. Secretary, apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning to members also. Chair, I've received four apologies today. One is Honorable Mjobo, whose mother is passed on. Maybe I should just start with that one, Chair. Honorable Mjobo is unable to be here because of that bereavement. And then also, Chair, I also received from Mr. Mudega, who's got a party deployment, and Mr. America also, and then Ms. Mutambi's off sick. Thank you, Chair. Those are the only apologies that I've received. Oh, I also received an apology from our committee assistant. Portia is also off sick, but we've got someone who's assisting on her behalf. Her name is Cindy. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for those apologies, and we hope that those that have been deployed will always recognize or be informed about the Tuesday meeting next week. Honorable members, let's officially send our condolences.
Sorry.
to Honorable Mjobo and on the passing of her mother.
Yeah.
And we hope that she would gain some more strength together with the family members to be able to go through this difficult situation. And those members that may be able to attend the funeral, if ever the funeral is not yet done, and then I think they should be able to do so. And one can just ask Honorable Van Schalkwyk, if it is possible to consider some arrangement of sending, whether it's a card or a flower or something, and indicate how it can be done if it is possible by the end of the day, if there is the possibility exists, so that we can do our best in this particular phase. It's just a request, and then you will indicate and assist us together with the rest of the members. Honorable Bacher.
Thank you. Yes, I was going to say that. And also, if you could distribute her email address to us so that we can send personal notes of condolence as well. And I like the idea of sending flowers from the committee. It is an esteemed member of our committee, and it's a terrible incident that's happened. So thank you.
Okay. No, it's thanks very much. And let's do it that way, and I think the committee secretary should be able to assist the members with an email address. Honorable members, then the agenda is in front of you, and who is happy about the agenda, or there is any proposal to do anything about it? Honorable Bakhram? You are happy about the program, the agenda, and Honorable Tego?
Second.
She's happy about that, and in the absence of anybody that has got problems, let's proceed, and then let's get to the set of minutes, 6 March 2019, where we're entertaining the compensation fund and the supported employment enterprises in in M46 at Max Building. Am I out of order? I have not yet said anything controversial.
I propose adoption of these numbers.
Let's go through the process so that the honourable members then can be page one. Are you having a problem with page one? None. Page two. Nobody is having a problem with page two. Page three. Looks like all of you are just like Honorable Bakhram. Honorable Dongwane.
I second the proposal of Honorable Bakhram.
Okay, there is second man to adopt the minutes, and anybody that has got problems with adopting the minutes, then? None, then the minutes have been duly adopted. That should take us to the draft report on our Q1 and 2 report. I hope that we have all of us have the copies of the report. Is there anyone that doesn't have the copy of the report? None, and I hope that we may have a glance through the report then it's you're gonna take us through the report. Are you energetic? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, just put the mic on then so that you can be recorded for telling us what we want to hear or what we don't want to hear. You may proceed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not going to go through the whole report because it's a lengthy report. I'm just gonna focus on the highlights of the report. If you go to page 2, you will notice that there's a table 1 is a performance per strategic objectives of the department. It compares quarter 1 of 2017-18 with the quarter 1 of 2018-19. The overall performance for the quarter one in 2017-18 was 53%, and then it improved to 80% in quarter one of 2018-19. And then the second table is table two, which is performance of the strategic objective in quarter two. So the table compares quarter two of 2017-18 with quarter two of 2018-19. The performance overall performance in quarter two of 2017-18 was 56%, and then it improved to 80% in the quarter two of 2018-19. And then table three is performance per program in quarter one. So it compares quarter one of 2017-18 and quarter one of 2018-19. So there the overall performance in 2017-18 quarter one was 50%, and then in quarter one of 2018-19 it improved to 80%. And then table four is a performance per program in quarter two. The overall performance per program in quarter two of 2017-18 was 56%, and the quarter two of 2018-19 was 80%. And then table five is a public employment services performance per strategic objective. So it compares quarter one with quarter two. So in quarter one, the target for number of work seekers that were registered on ESA was 151,000. That was the target. And then the actual performance was 212,287. And then in quarter two, the target was 174,000. And the actual performance was 239. And then the number of employment opportunities registered on ESA, the target for quarter one was 18,700, and the actual performance was 84,903. And in quarter two, the target was 42,500, and the actual performance was 71,285. And then the number of registered work seekers who were provided with employment counseling was 48,000, the target, and the actual performance was 59,050. That was in quarter one. And in quarter two, the target was 104,738, and the actual performance was 124,182. And then the number of registered employment opportunities filled by registered work seekers per year, the target was 9,352, and the actual performance was 9,455 in quarter one. And in quarter two, the target was 21,252, and the actual performance was 22,212. And then table six is financial performance. So the total appropriation for 2018-19 was 3.2 billion. And then the actual expenditure was 683 million. And then the percentage that was spent in quarter one, 20.8% expenditure. And then table 7 is expenditure by economic classification, which shows that compensation of employees amounted to 1.2 billion, and then that was the actual, that was the appropriation, and then the actual expenditure amounted to 260 million. So the available budget after expenditure on compensation of employees was 1 billion. So the percentage that was spent on compensation of employees was 20.1%. And the percentage that was spent on goods and services was 14.8%. And then on transfers and subsidies, it was 25.7%. And then capital payments, 3.8%. And then payment for financial assets, all the funds were spent, that was 100%. So the transfers and subsidies.
Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I want the content advice to explain page 9 and page 10 so that I understand, because I see the figures are the same at the end. 20% the total. What is the difference between the expenditure information per program, quarter 1, and the expenditure information by economic classification, quarter 1, because the total is the same amount. So while explaining, can you please also try to explain the two, why these two figures are the same?
They are the same because they reflect the amount that was spent. So the other one is the expenditure per program, and then the other one is expenditure by economic classification. So that's why the amount is the same. So as we know, the programs of the department, there are four. There's an administration program, there's an inspection and enforcement services, then there's public employment services, and the fourth one is labor police and industrial relations. So table 6 reflects that expenditure, how much was spent per program. And then the overall percentage is 20.8. So it's the same with the table 7. The overall expenditure was 20.8. It's just the classification is different, but the expenditure is the same. I'm not sure if that is...
Does it make a little bit of sense? Okay. Proceed.
Okay, then in table 8, it reflects the expenditure per program in quarter 2, which is different from table 6, because table 6 also reflects expenditure per program, but in quarter 1. So that one is in quarter 2. So the overall percentage that was spent in quarter 2 was 42.7%, which is closer to 50%, which is the benchmark, because actually per quarter is supposed to spend 25%. So in two quarters you are supposed to spend about 50%. So what was spent was 42.7%. And then table 9 is by economic classification, which we'll notice that the overall expenditure is the same also, 42.7%. And then in table 10, it's a Okay, let's start from six. It's quarter one and quarter two performance of the entities of the department. So, starting with the NEDLAC. NEDLAC, the indicators with target reporting in quarter one were 22. And then the number of quarter one targets that were achieved out of the 22 were 17. So, which means the targets that were not achieved was were 5. And then the overall performance percentage is 77%. And then table 11 is performance per program, but now in quarter two. So those are the programs of the NEDLAC. It's administration, cooperations, constituency, capacity building. The overall percentage in quarter two was 81%. And then table 12 compares quarter one of 2018-19 with quarter two of 2018-19. So the overall performance in quarter two was 81% and in quarter one it was 77%. That is now in page 15. And then table 13 compares, it's financial information. So the total budget of NEDLAC amounted to 17.2 million, but the actual expenditure in quarter two was 19.7 million. So there was an over expenditure of about 2.5 million. And then table 14 reflects expenditure by economic classification. So which you will notice is the same as the expenditure per program, it's just the classification is different, the totals are the same. Yeah. And then table 15 reflects the implementation of audit action plan as at the end of quarter two. So it reflects that 50% of audit action plan was implemented by the end of quarter two. Then if you go to table 16, it 6.2 is the commission with CCMA. So CCMA table 16 compares the performance of the CCMA in quarter one with the performance in quarter two. So the performance in quarter one was 75% and then in quarter two it improved to 80%. And then table 17 is the performance of the CCMA per program. That is, it's a financial performance, which reflects the expenditure. So the budget was 521 million, and the actual expenditure was 475.7 million. So the variance, which is under expenditure, was 45.8 million. So which was the variance in percentage term, it was 9%. And then table 18 reflects the CCMA expenditure per strategic objective in quarter two. So this is the financial performance. The overall budget, the totals are the same. It's just the classification that is different. And then table 19 is performance by economic classification, which is similar to the performance per program in terms of totals, 9% was spent. And then 6.3 is the compensation fund. So table 20 reflects the performance of the compensation fund per program. So the compensation fund has four programs. Program one is administration, program two is compensation for occupational injuries and disease services operation. Program three is medical services, and program four, orthotic and rehabilitation services. So in quarter one, what was achieved was 86%, and which is the same as in quarter two, what was achieved was also 86%. And then table 21 reflects compensation fund performance per strategic objective. So overall, what was achieved was 86%. That is the total achievement. And then if you look at table 22, is the compensation fund performance per indicator in quarter one and quarter two. And then table 23 is still the compensation fund performance linked to the budget of the compensation fund. So the actual expenditure amounted to 86%. And then the percentage spent in quarter two was 32%, that is the overall expenditure. And then it's the same as in table 24, it's just in table 24 is expenditure by economic classification. So the total that was spent is 82%. The highest amount spent was on compensation of employees, which was 46%. And then table 25 reflects expenditure in quarter one, it's UIF performance per strategic objective, which shows the overall achievement in quarter one of 2018-19 was 63%, which was the same as in quarter two of 2018-19, which was 63%. But if you compare to quarter two of 2017-18, it was 58%. And then in table 26, it reflected the UIF performance per program. So the programs of the UIF are three, which is administration, business operations, and labor activation programs. So the overall performance percentage was 63% by the end of quarter two. And then table 27 reflects expenditure of the UIF per program. So by the end of quarter two, it has spent 75% of its budget. that's the UIF. And table 28 reflects UIF expenditure by economic classification, which is also 75% was spent. And then 6.5 is productivity South Africa. Okay, expenditure per program by the end of quarter one, 37%, which was similar also in quarter two, they spent 37%. And then a PSA performance per strategic objective in quarter one and quarter two of 2018-19 is also the same, that was spent 87% in quarter one and 7% was spent in quarter two. And then PSA expenditure.
Just a second.
Okay.
On table 29, honorable members, I think we still need, just after he has completed presenting, we must come back to that table. Just please assist me and remind me, so that we look at some of those figures there to, in order to correct or accept them. Proceed.
Okay. Chair, do you want me to go to table 29 to reflect those figures?
No, you proceed. What
okay.
I'm saying
okay.
is that, honorable members, after you're finished, we must come back to this table.
Okay.
Okay.
And then... And then table 31 is PSA expenditure for program in quarter two. So what was spent was 44% of the budget by the end of quarter two. And then table 32 is expenditure by economic classification. It shows that the bigger share of expenditure was on compensation of employees. Yeah, not the, yeah, that is the last table. Okay, back to table 29. What is reflected there in quarter one and quarter two? In quarter two is not cumulative, it is in this.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Honorable members, that table 29. Table 29, you see, what I'm trying to raise here is that the annual planned indicators is two. Annual is two. Then you have got four quarters in a year. So which means on a quarterly basis, then you'll be having a target of 0.5, half. And then in four quarters, then it makes the total of two. But then now when you get to the planned indicator for quarter one, then it is one. And which means now, with this quarter one and quarter two, corporate services is done. Quarter three, there's nothing that's going to happen. Quarter four, there's nothing that's going to happen. Is that correct? Is that our understanding?
Mm-hmm.
And that in quarter three and quarter four, then they've got nothing to do on this particular program. Because they will have achieved the two in quarter one and two. If the planned indicator is 1 and the 100% achieved, quarter 200% achieved, then both two indicators now have been completed already. So it's something that we just need to correct. I think even during the presentation, try to raise the same thing in order for us to be able to correct it. Are we together? Do we see what is my challenge? And do you understand my challenge?
Yes.
Okay, then is there any comment that you can make?
The only thing I can say That is what Productivity SA reported to the committee. But I understand the challenge that you are raising. Because yeah, if there are two indicators, and then there is one plan indicator for quarter one and one plan for quarter two, and then quarter three and quarter four, then
should be zero zeros.
Maybe I think we need to raise it with the PSA, the Productivity South Africa. That is what they reported to the committee.
Okay, but we have raised it. I'm not sure, maybe you were not present in that meeting. We did raise it, and then we requested them to go and relook and correct. So all what we can do now, corporate services is a continuous program. There is no way that it can be done in half a year and finished and closed off. And then which means is that the ones that we have, you must convert them into 0.5, 0.5. And then it is still 100%, 100%. Because there is corporate services issues and then whatever targets that they must still do in quarter three and quarter four. Therefore, that means that all those four ones that are there, planned indicator one, achieved one, it should be 0.5. If they are to be correct. Okay, honorable members, I think you have heard Ngobo. And is there anything that you wanted to raise? Of course, generally is that what he has been going through is what it has been given to us by the department and entities. Nothing is out of our own brains other than corrections only. If you are satisfied with the figures that have been put in there, that now they are correctly copied from the presentations, and then we should be able to go to our own work on our observations and go to the other side of the relevant recommendations. I've seen your hand, Behram.
Thank you, Chairman. Obviously, I wouldn't know if these figures are correct. I trust our content advisor that he's put in the correct figures. It's not for us to comment other than a blatant mistake, as you've just pointed out, Mr. Chairman. It's not for us to comment on that. The only thing I do want to comment on is points 7 and 8 on pages 35 and 36. So that, other than that, if the content advisor is correct, he's correct. I obviously didn't go and check to see if this is a correct précis of the presentations that were made over the years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then with that, I think we can really make a plea to the content advisor just to ensure that the figures are correctly copied they reflect the true reflection of the reports that we have received. Just accept this one blatant mistake that we have just dealt with now. But the rest will rely on the committee secretary and the contents advice, and then to ensure that the numbers are correct, because it's not going to be possible for us to go through each and every number that is in this particular document. Otherwise, we'll take the whole month looking at those numbers and double-checking. And also ensuring that where the figures are in thousands, then the table must reflect as such. And in the body of the document as well, then we make sure that the figures are reported. If they are in millions, they are in millions. In thousands, then they should be in thousands. And then, assist us with those textual correctness. Therefore, honourable members, then that takes us to page 35. To page 35. And then one would rely on you to just recall during the presentations as well, for us to be able to deal with page 35 on section 7 of the report. That is committee observations. Honorable Teko.
Thanks, Chair. As members are alluding to say the report is in order, but I want to check on the recommendation by the committee on the fruit tax expenditure on the first bulletin on the committee made on the following observation, the irregular expenditure of the department. What intervention are we putting in place, and what is it that we are recommending to the minister on this one? Because there is no recommendation on the other side. So we can observe an unauthorized, an irregular expenditure, and we don't recommend anything to the minister. How does this going to deal with this matter moving forward? Because people must account, and monies must be recovered on this aspect. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I think the best thing, Honorable Teko, is it not advisable that we first agree whether the observations, we agree on them? Yes. And when we have agreed on the observations, then we must go to the recommendations and make sure that there is a corrective measure for any observation that we have made. Yes. And then we just need to change these bullets into numbers so that it's possible to quote a particular observation. Yeah, if they are just dots, it's not easy. Then you start saying, no, it's a committee observation dot number 5. It can't be correct. You must be able to say 7 point something, and then it is easy to refer. And as well as the recommendations as well, let's number them. The first one, of course, that speaks to irregular expenditures and fruitless and wasteful, and there was no unauthorized expenditure. We agree on that one. And then the department registered low expenditure on compensation of employees at the end of quarter two of that, which was attributed to vacancy rate, which honorable members had a problem with that low expenditures. And then a NETLAC obtained qualified audit opinion in respect of undisclosed irregular expenditure amounting to that. I think this one was the worst mistake that NETLAC has done, not even disclosing it to their own board members. And then 7.4, CCMA reported that variance in expenditure on administration program resulted from, amongst others, unfilled vacancies. I think this one, are we not repeating? It's only that it is the CCMA, but we had it under 7.2 on the vacancy rate. Okay, it's fine. That's correct, yes. Can't you combine them? You want to keep them separate? Okay, fine. Then 7.5, orthotic and rehabilitation services program of the compensation fund had a budget allocation of 2.5 and spent only 54 by the end of quarter two, resulting in a variance of 2.4 million. The commissioner of CEF informed the members that this is a new unit that is currently staffed by only the chief director. And then number 7.6, PSA, Productivity SA, achieved 37% of its performance targets and spent 44% of its budget by end of quarter two The entity's performance was zero on turnaround solutions program in both quarter one and quarter two. Then the CEO of that informed the committee that the entity has no funding for the remainder of 2018 and 2019. Is there anything that is missing? Honorable Bertram?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been through it carefully. I thank the content advisor for doing this and for sending it out to us beforehand. I have a whole lot of comments in terms of observations, which we seem to have overlooked. We're missing the wood for the trees. And I want to start off by saying that during this period, it was the worst period of unemployment this country's ever seen. And again, we have not commented on that at all. We must understand that this full report that was done was accordance to the target set by the department for itself. It wasn't a target set externally, it's for themselves. And yes, sometimes they met the target, sometimes they got 100%. But it's all very well saying you got 100% when, in fact, we are almost at 10 million unemployed. The department says that we're now at 9.7 million people unemployed. That's what the Director General told us at a meeting a month ago. And somehow our observations don't take point of that at all. That's the first point. The second point is that if you remember the auditor's report, was almost every single part of the Department of Labor failed. It was horrific. We've had it for the last 4 years. We've had ongoing failure. We've had very little improvement on that ongoing failure. And somehow we are now picking on one or two little individual problems, and we're not looking at an overall failure of the department. In fact, it's been one of the worst departments in government in terms of failure and in terms of not being able to meet the expectations of the auditors. And so I have a real problem that we don't even observe that. We can pick on one or two little things. In terms of what we're seeing is a whole lot of external investigations, and somehow very little, there's never been a prosecution, and somehow very little movement on that. And obviously there's been fraud within the department, and we don't observe that either. This orthotic and rehabilitation services, I mean, yes, we observe that there's only a chief director, but at the end of the day, we need to also observe that they've done nothing about it. I'm not sure where that's taking us other than us just observing. PSA, we are probably, I think it's the second worst in the world in terms of productivity in South Africa, in terms of the schedules that are coming from the World Bank. And again, we're just observing that they achieved 37%, but we should be observing that we are probably the lowest in the world. In terms of the CCMA and the unfilled vacancies, what we should be observing, of course, is that when we've called for more funding for the CCMA, and that will impinge very heavily on the future and how they're able to affect the increased referrals that they're receiving. In 1 month, they increased their referrals by 15%. That was the month of January 2019. But we had warned them during the year that this was going to happen. And in fact, the commissioner, the director of the CCMA, came and told us this. And we should be observing something beyond the fact that they're just reporting a variance. We should be observing that somehow they're not being supported by the Minister of Labor to properly do their job in reality. I can go on. Because there has been a wholesale failure across the board, we're still experiencing major problems with UIF. They are still, it's all the time. I mean, this morning again, they were offline. They've been offline for the last 8 months, on and off all the time. People can't claim online. They're real problems. And we should be, we've mentioned it throughout the year, and in fact throughout the last 4 years, the problems that we're experiencing with the UIF and workmen's compensation for that matter, and somehow we don't observe any of that. I know the committee doesn't want to observe it, but it's there. So I'm just imploring upon you to ask the content advisor to look back at some of those observations we made during those quarters, and somehow it doesn't reflect anywhere over here. Thank you for listening to me. I will go on later as to recommendations, because I will have a whole lot of comments there as well. Thank you.
Okay. Just before I go to Honorable Van Schalkwyk, I think it's Honorable Bachrun is whatever you have said, I think generally when you look at the labor sector, and many of your comments are correct. But the unfortunate thing is that when you actually do this quarterly expenditure reporting, you are looking at windows. You open a window. You may be having something happening now that is worse, but you can't bring it in because you are looking at this particular window, what has happened. And again, when you look at that particular window, you are not looking at everything else, general knowledge and whatever. You're looking at the plan that the department or the entity said it is putting down. That plan is going to work according to that particular plan. Then they reduce it in the form of the indicators. And then now, when you come and do this expenditure, quarterly expenditure report, you then say, what did you say to us? You said you'll do one, you'll do two, you'll do three. Then now you go to them and see what they've done on those things. But other comments, general comments may be made. But the question is that you need to actually check their expenditure performance on agreed targets, which is supposed to be in their plans. Hence, that's why it's a little bit difficult, and on some of the things that you have raised, that how do you then bring them in? But like as I'm saying, is that general comments, then it's not a problem that we do, especially when we do their APPs. When we do their APPs and looking at their APPs, that will be, as far as I'm concerned, an opportunity where you can say, no, but you are having all these targets, but you are not having a target to deal with the following. And then you have an understanding. But when you have agreed on the targets, on their plans, then when you come and measure their performance, then you must measure them on the plans that you have agreed upon, or they have promised to perform in accordance with. It's just that you must just separate these particular forums and opportunities of actually dealing with some of these things. Because ordinarily sometimes we find ourselves talking about issues that are happening now when we are dealing with a window that is past, is 6 months back, and it is past and this thing has never happened in that particular time. Then we find ourselves consumed to conflate the both periods. And I think that's what I just wanted to raise. But there is nothing that stops anybody from raising obvious things. But when we are measuring them, let's measure them on their targets that they promised that they will perform according to them in that particular window. Honorable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, we would like to appreciate the report that has been presented to us. We know that in the past we complained about only tables without a broad narrative explanation. And I think this time around the staff members were spot on in terms of properly explaining to us. I think that's why the members are not asking clarification questions, because it's been explained in the narrative report. So we want to
thank the staff members for that one. In terms of the other issues, I'm partly covered or mostly covered, except for the fact, Chairperson, that we've continuously raised or contested this issue of unemployment. We know that it's been a continuous trend when looking at the quarterly reports, looking at the annual reports. The issue would come up from the Honourable Pagram in terms of unemployment. We fully support the idea or the concern that unemployment has reached alarming levels in our country. So we can't contest that one. But the problem that I'm having, Chairperson, is in terms of the blame game that's been put squarely to the department. And we've debated this issue over the years, and we've concluded, Chairperson, and we must agree that we won't always agree, but we must agree to disagree at some issues or some point also. That we must remember that the mandate of the Department of Labor is not to create employment, but to ensure that there is a conducive environment for job creation in our country. And that's the area of contest that I want to bring to the fore. And also, Chairperson, I agree with the Honourable Pagram when he speaks about the fraud cases. We've continuously raised it also in the past, and I think it must find expression in terms of our committee observations as well, that we raise the issue in terms of fraud cases so that we can have a recommendation in that regard also. And also, but we'll speak on the recommendation side. Then in terms of various other issues like the CCMA unfilled vacancies and stuff like that, we know, Chairperson, that we've raised it during the presentation of these quarterly reports, and explanation has been given, and we can make sufficient provision in terms of the recommendations, so it's not that it's going to be lost. And then, Chairperson, the last one is there are some small spelling errors here and there, so we would like to request the staff members to properly clean the document in terms of spelling and grammatical errors. I think I'll pause there, Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, without not necessarily pausing, the observation in regard to fraud and or corruption, how do you want to craft it? Or can I ask Sibongiseni, it's how can you assist them to craft it in relation to the presentations that we received from the department and entities? What was the nature of the fraud and whatever corruption that we picked up, and the unemployment that we speak about when we talk about vacancy rates, that we have got problems with vacancy rates. Remember that the vacancy rate that have not been filled means unemployment. And then do we really need another sentence as an observation that talks about 9 or 10 million people? How do you link 10 million unemployed people to the Department of Labor? Because the Department of Labor, it is not responsible to employ 10 million or 9 million people. Definitely it is responsible to ensure that labor relations, whatever, basic conditions of whatever is applicable to those that are employed, and they enjoy all those rights. But it can't be responsible to employ 10 million people or whatever. But then when you then put it squarely at the Department of Labor's doorstep, then we may be unconsciously saying that this department has failed to employ 9 million people. Is that correct? And then I'm not sure, but I'm just raising this, but I don't think that they are responsible to employ the 10 million people. Our economy is failing to provide job opportunities for that 10 million people. Not the Department of Labor, no. And we can only worry about the conditions of employment of those that are employed, whether the department is making sure that employers comply with them. I want to be assisted on the fraud and corruption. How do you then craft it? Because what we'll be saying that we have observed is we should be observing on the presentation and the reports that the department and the several entities have presented to us. And then any other thing, then we can only note them. But when you observe on the presentation and the reports that have been put in front of us. Have we observed the issue relating to fraud and corruption, other than the first one that talks to irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which may have happened through fraudulent activities or corrupt activities? Because once something is fruitless and wasteful expenditure, there is a possibility that fraud or corruption has happened, unless if they just overspend on the budget when they were not allowed to do it. There we are. I only create problems. I don't provide solutions. I hope that you'll assist me to provide solutions. Honorable Bakhra.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It would be very wrong of us, in terms of point 7 committee observations, if we don't at least make the observations. People will be out there reading this in due course. And it will be recorded in Hansard in due course. And we need to, as a committee, not have our heads in the sand. If I may differ from you slightly, if I can go to page 2 of the document, and it says strategic objectives. And the strategic objectives are very important. And
yep.
It says in one of them, contribute to employment creation. Now, I'm not blaming the department for not employing 10 million people or 9.7 million people. I'm not blaming them. Obviously, they can't employ 9.7 million people. That would be ludicrous to say. But it's very important for us to say that it exists as an observation. Now, I'm happy, and when you say we are bound by what the department sets as their targets and therefore we have to speak to those particular windows, I'm happy to speak to the windows, but each time the window was opened for us in these meetings, I was at pains to actually point out to the department the bigger picture each time. It's not as if I never raised it at the time. I did. The Honourable von Schalkwyk is absolutely correct. I did raise it each time because I didn't want to be accused afterwards of not raising the real issue. We can't miss the wood for the trees. We're all in Lifeboat South Africa together. When a leak occurs, it doesn't matter which political party you're in, it doesn't matter whether you have a job or you don't have a job, it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, we're all in the same lifeboat. And if that boat goes down, we've got problems. And I think as a committee with an oversight function of the department, we need to actually point out issues that our department has as its strategic objectives. And I'm not trying to score any political points. Please believe me, I don't need that in my life. What I am worried about is that when my next-door neighbor doesn't have a job, my next-door neighbor's hungry. And it's the department that has to create the environment to try and somehow get that job. They're not gonna cure this. No country in the world has cured unemployment. It just so happens we all happen to be the worst in the world. And so we need to at least be alive to the problems that South Africans are facing. And so all I'm looking for, and I understand where you're coming from, Mr. Chair, I understand that fully. So maybe as an observation, what we could do is to say that observations of an overall nature were made vis-a-vis unemployment, vis-a-vis fraud and corruption. We don't have to get specific about it. And we can even say that we're not blaming the department per se. If the department has employed someone within the CCMA that has now landed up with the public protector, it's not the department's fault. They've now caught the person. It's actually quite good. So it's not the department's fault. If the minister has someone in her office that's been accused of fraud, it's not her fault that the person has been accused of fraud and committed the fraud. So I'm not looking for fault. All I'm looking for is observations. And they've opened the windows. We've raised the points during the window opening. And all we can say is something general. I don't want to say that this committee, this is a weird committee. They looked at a couple of little issues and they missed the overall picture. We didn't miss the overall picture. We all raised it. From every political party, everyone raised issues throughout the year. And I would like to just say that at least we observed it. That's all. We're not ostriches. We didn't put our head in the sand. So the reality is I don't agree with some of the comments that have been made, but I understand where you're coming from, Mr. Chair, where the committee's coming from, that we are obliged to look only at the windows that the department has opened for us. Then let's make an overall observation. The Auditor General did come in and gave us the most damning report. It reflects on us as well, not just the department, reflects on us as well, because we're the oversight people, and they looked at us and said, well, you know, as an oversight, what are you going to do about it? All they can do, all the Auditor General can do, is they can say, we can point it out to you. Well, what can we do as a committee? We can also point it out to the department again, and so we observe. That's all we're doing, we observe. Maybe we won't do anything about it in terms of recommendations, but we at least observe, because everyone here has noted with their eyes and ears what's actually taken place over the last year. So thank you for listening to me.
Honorable Teko.
I think the honorables, they are correct, both of them, the whip and honorable Bekham. I want to come back to page 2. And maybe the content advisor will advise correctly on the issue how to make observation of the committee, but we emphasize on the objectives of the department by indicating that, because when I look at the percentages of the performances where it says promote sound labor relationship is at 67% and the protecting of vulnerable workers is at 60%. Maybe we can come up with a way that addresses those two strategic objectives to say how best can we improve on the two, so that also while addressing the unemployment and making sure that the creation of employment is increased. So we just have to observe as a committee to indicate we need improvement on the two strategic objectives. About the content advisor will address, because the overall it will address the issues that the members are raising.
Okay. I think, honorable members, sometimes we may need to revisit the department's strategic objectives. When they say contribute to employment creation, what do they mean? What do they mean? Because we may be misinterpreting what they actually mean. And because if you actually interpret it as really creating employment opportunities, then we have got a very small little portion that the department can do. in relation to its own its own organogram. But otherwise, the department is actually expected to contribute in employment creation in terms of making the conditions conducive in the manner of the legislation, in terms of the legislation that because it will not physically create job opportunities, it won't, and therefore and that's what I just wanted to raise. But Mr. Ngobo then will come and speak to that. And I need to be assisted on the Auditor General. I think the observations that is coming from the Auditor General is exactly the first one that we have of irregular expenditures and blah blah blah. It comes there. And then there was another observation where we said a particular entity got a qualified, NEDLAC, obtained a qualified opinion. These extracts from the Auditor General's report. And then they are talking about the failures in there. If there is any part, let's assist each other by crafting it and setting it and then agree on it to be included or not to be included. And then, but also on one side is, I wanted to say is, it is important that when you make an observation, then there must be a corrective if the observation is about a wrongdoing. Then there must be a recommendation for what must happen. And then it would not be the best thing just to observe and let the thing hang and say, no, we are seeing you are stealing the money, but we are mum about what must happen to stop the stealing. Then it may not be the best thing that we should do. But if that accident, then it is happens, only God knows. Honorable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Before we go to Swansea.
I want to include another observation in terms of the poor compliance of safety standards in some government buildings, so that we can speak to the recommendation that has been made in terms of this area. Let's state it in terms of government buildings. Then it's going to be inclusive of all buildings. Thank you.
Are you agreeing with Honorable Van Schalkwyk?
I am with that particular one, if I may.
Obviously, we can't make recommendations if it isn't part of our observations.
That's correct, yes.
So we need to, that's why I'm stopping you on the observations, because I'm saying we can make generalized observations. In the recommendations, it's got to be a bit more focused.
Specific.
You're absolutely correct. But we do need to make generalized observations, such as it is observed that the Auditor General's overall report is negative. That's all we have to say. Then we can, in terms of recommendations, we can recommend that they employ specialized staff or something of that nature to make sure that it doesn't happen. I don't think it's rife in the department that everyone's stealing. I don't think so. I think there's been a lot of technical errors. And every year we have it, and it's embarrassing for us as a committee to have the Auditor General come here and tell us all these things, and then no improvement. It goes worse the next year. And so we need to at least make that observation that maybe it's a negative report. We don't have to explain. None of us are auditors sitting here. We don't have to explain why they made it negative. But we can recommend what the Auditor General has recommended, that they get better qualified staff and that they train people, etc. They did make recommendations. And maybe all we're looking for over here as this committee is to recommend for the next committee what they need to oversee. That's all we're looking for, so that your legacy as the chairman, when you hand to the next chairman, it might be you, at least then you know that I'm sitting here now as the chairman, my last committee said X, Y, and Z, and let's have a look at it. That's all I'm looking for. This is our legacy. This is our last chance to have the legacy for that next committee.
Thank you. Okay, honorable members, you have heard Honorable Bahrain. What's your comment? Okay.
Remember when I indicated that there is observation number one, we need to craft the own. We're just moving around the circle now.
Yeah.
We said observation, recommendation, that's it. We just don't need to say a lot of things. We just have to concentrate on the observation and we give the corrective measures.
Yeah. But what I'm trying to say is that on 7.1, honorable members, you have the one that talks to irregular expenditures, fruitless, and whatever. And then it provides you with an opportunity to bring in a corrective measure that deals with audit opinion. It provides you with that, with that particular opportunity. And then... and then you come to 7.3, NEDLAX obtained a qualified audit opinion. It's a negative opinion when it's a qualified. It provides with you to recommend about the audit opinion. Now, what Behram is saying is that we must have another observation that says is the Auditor General has given a negative opinion generally to this labor sector. That's when then I want yourselves to speak to it, is that because you may still on that one make exactly the same recommendations. Honorable Turk.
Thanks, sir. I think the Auditor General, when he gave that statement, he also provided with the information on how the measures must be corrected. So we just have to check on the auditor's general findings and the recommendation of the auditors, because there is, they don't just give you problems and they don't give you measures how to address the problem. The statements that the auditor general has, that's why I wanted to check with Mr. Ngoma on how. What was the recommend? I don't remember well because I don't have that Auditor General's booklet with the report with me, because there are.
Let me just simply go back to Ngobo.
That's why I said Ngobo must ask
and,
us
and
on
and
this
get,
one.
And get assisted. Proceed.
Okay. If I remember correctly, the members raised this issue with the department. And then the explanation of the department was that sometimes what happens to be recorded as fruitless and wasteful expenditure are cases where people are booked to attend some things, to go and stay at the hotel, and then they don't turn up. And then they said it is difficult for them to recoup the money from staff because there is no law which allows them to do that. So it must be an agreement with the that staff member, how much the staff member can afford to repay per month. That was the explanation that was given by the department.
Honorable members, without laboring too much on this particular point, we do have an observation that arises from the Auditor General's report. There is nothing that stops us to craft a recommendation that is over-encompassing to actually deal with malfeasance in relation to financial management. We can craft our recommendation that deals with all the things, unlike, you know, listing 3, 4, 5 observations in relation to the Auditor General. and then because then you may need to repeat the other side all of those. Honorable Van Schalkwyk, maybe you can help us to get out of this one item.
Yes, Chair, I do not agree with the fact that the AG observed a general poor performance in the negative in terms of the financials of the department and its entities. But I would like us to observe, therefore, that there are some negatives that has been reported in terms of the department as well as its entities in terms of the financial financials, which relates to wasteful expenditure as well as fruitless expenditure. So then we can craft, as correctly said, a recommendation with regards to that. And also, Chairperson, can I then propose, therefore, that we move then from the observations now and we go to the recommendations. With that one, Mr. Ngobo should just assist us in a proper crafting in terms of combining all the AG's observations without necessarily making it a generalization in terms of negativity. And then we can move to the recommendations, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Teko.
Thanks, Chair. I have a proposal, but it's upon the committee to maybe we assist each other. I will just indicate on the recommendation that the minister must take effective and appropriate steps to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure within that area of department. I don't know if it sounds. And to prevent any other. But it's the prerogative of the minister. The minister should take and prevent fruitless expenditure. The person responsible. I don't know how maybe we can correctly craft that. Because I'm seeing maybe the minister can take effective, but it's through that relevant official to prevent fruitless and wasteful expenditure within that department of the area of responsibility. And to prevent also fruitless and wasteful expenditure within that all the entities, because we're speaking about different entities here and the department.
Okay.
It's a measure to be put in place,
yes,
by the minister to prevent.
It's a recommendation. And then also include maybe a piece of a sentence there that steps be taken against those that have involved themselves in corrupt or fraudulent activities. Honorable Bakram?
I support what the Honorable Van Schalkwyk has said, and that obviously our content advisor will go back and put something together on a general terms.
Mm.
We don't have to condemn the department for it. We just say that it exists, it's there. But I would also suggest that we look at possibly some overall comment in terms of recommendations, not just from the Auditor General, but an overall comment that we are slipping back as a country in terms of unemployment. And we can actually say it's not the department's fault per se, but it's just a comment, an observation from the committee that this exists. I think you're absolutely correct when you have a look at what the department has suggested for itself in terms of strategic objectives. The Director General did answer that question when I put it to him, I think 2 years ago. I said, what do you mean by... I asked him on a whole lot of things on every single one of these strategic objectives. I asked him what he meant. But I did ask him in particular about contribution to employment creation.
Yeah.
And you're right. He said, we can't employ people ourselves. We can't create the jobs ourselves. But what he did say is that we need to create an environment conducive for the public sector, for the private sector to employ people. That's what his answer was. And all we're asking as an observation, we're saying that it obviously is not yet there. I mean, they're trying to improve it all the time, and they are making roads into this. But I don't believe we're there, because why are we the worst in the world? Now, it's not the department's fault. It's not the economy's fault. It's no one's fault. It just so happens that we happen to be the worst in the world for that. And it's not fair, but we can't pretend that we don't observe it then. That's all I'm saying. And maybe the content advisor can have a look at that as well without pointing fingers at the department. That's all I'm looking for. Thank you.
I like your comments and your input, Honorable Behara. But you see, sometimes the input is that while on a general debate, it's worth debating and considering. But when you ask it to be included in the report, remember that once you put it in this report, then you are asking somebody to do something about it.
That's the next one.
You are asking somebody to do something about it. And then now, the question, of course, is that if we just simply say there is a general decline of employment, and then the next question is, what should Minister Oliphant do about that?
Well, that comes in our next discussion.
Okay. Honorable Van Schalkwyk.
With all due respect, Chairperson, I don't think that that observation would be fair in terms of what we aim to do in terms of this quarterly reports. So I would rather suggest that for those members which might include the Honourable Begram, who's returning in the 6th Parliament, to raise it during the annual reports or
the
APPs. That would be the safest, but let's not include. Moving forward, Chair, I really think we should move to the recommendations, but before we move, I would like to sponsor another item in terms of the observations that we observe. The continuous contraventions in terms of the Employment Equity Act as amended in 2014, so that we can speak to the recommendation that we also made. I'm not sure if Mr. Ngobo is with me. Because
non-compliance with
the Employment Equity Act. Because remember, we raised the issues, the issue that there's a continuous trend of non-compliance with the Employment Equity Act by various employers,
yes.
And when you look at some of them even being JSE listed, they don't care. It's just a small thing to pay the fines. So we then came up with a recommendation that maybe we should get some legal advice in terms of the Schedule 1, which is captured in the recommendations, but we don't mention anything in terms of the observations. If we can just have something around that one, Mr. Ngobo, thank you.
Is there any general consensus on that, on non-compliance, on Employment Equity Act? Honorable Behram?
Thanks, Chair. I must point out that at those meetings when we discussed the non-compliance, it was pointed out with a shrinking economy and with the inability to retrench because you want to comply meant that the business community couldn't, and the Minister couldn't give an answer to that. So I'm not in agreement with it. I understand that there has been non-compliance, but I understand why. So I would like that then understood that there might have to be a re-look at that legislation. Just in terms of when we get to committee recommendations, because you said if we are actually making observations, we need to make recommendations.
Yeah.
The only reason why, and the Honourable Van Schalkwyk had said, we can leave it to the next committee in the sixth parliament to make those observations. That's not correct, because the only reason why we're making recommendations is we're making recommendations to those in the sixth parliament. That's what we're doing. We're not making recommendations to ourselves. We're not going to be here. So we're making those recommendations to those in the sixth parliament. And so I disagree very strongly with Honourable Van Schalkwyk that we can leave some observations off for them to make the observations. So I just what I thought I'd better say that. Thanks.
Then should I try to prevail over both of you then, in order to get out of this particular situation, Honourable Tongwan?
Thank you, Chair. But to me personally, Honourable Van Schalkwyk's suggestion makes more sense, because the term has come to an end. The only solution will be when the matter is raised with the sixth term by those that will be here.
Mm.
Thank you.
Let me just prevail. You see, it's, the exercise that we are doing now, we are reviewing on a historical basis what the department and entities have done in those particular two windows. And then the observations that we are making, together with the recommendations, that's why I insist that you must make recommendations. Because once you do the recommendations, the Speaker's office is obliged to send this report to the department's head, which is the DG together with the minister. And the minister and the DG will be looking at this report and say, this committee have looked at this particular matter, is worried about this particular section. And then now they will be looking, what is this committee then recommending for us to consider to do? And then they will seek to implement some of the recommendations if they can be implemented. Some of our recommendations may not be considered by the department. Remember, we're just making a recommendation. We are not instructing the department, because we don't have the executive authority to do that, to instruct them. But we can only recommend in the form of assisting the leadership of the department to go over some of the problems that we have seen during the reviewal of their performance. Hence, we are making recommendations to Minister Oliphant and DG Lamadi. And therefore, that's why I'm saying is that when you just simply put an observation that says there is this general drop of employment or lack of employment of some 10 million people, the next question is, what do you expect them to do about that? Because they are not necessarily responsible to employ 10 million people, that you can gauge their performance on a number 10 million unemployed people. Then it will mean nothing. That observation will mean nothing to them in terms of their performance. But like, that's why now I'm recommending, I was trying to actually assist us, that the general unemployment rate in the country of 27%, blah, 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 blah. It's a good debate when you are speaking about the APPs of the department. And then we are saying to the department is that you have got so many people that are unemployed during their strategic planning. And then what is there that you can do to assist that 10 million be employed? Whether there is a relaxation of certain labor laws that are seen to be blocking employment and all those other things, then they will tell you what is there that they can do to create the conditions conducive that other participators can employ the people up to there. And then it forms their indicator. When you come to the first quarter, you view their performance in terms of the indicator they've set themselves to achieve. not necessarily to review their performance in terms of an indicator that doesn't exist, that they've never allocated funds to achieve it. And then, but you just raise it and then agitate the area around them on a thing that they may not be able to respond, because they've never set themselves out to employ 10 million people. They've never set themselves out. They have set themselves up to promote and then contribute, you see. So that's what one was saying, is that that general issue can be debated when you deal with the strategic planning, which is the APPs, or at the end you can make that with an annual performance report and then make those referrals that it is out there in the total economy. Because you see, this one item that Honorable Bergram is raising, it is an ideal discussion point to the Department of Planning and Monitoring. That is an ideal place, because those ones, then they are in charge, they are responsible for planning that all of these other things should be achieved. It's a direct point to be discussed there. But otherwise, the Department of Labor, is just like all other departments, they've got just a certain number of people that they must employ within the department, and then creating those particular posts and employ according to that. And it may not be even 5,000 positions in the Department of Labor, I don't know. And it's just a drop in the ocean when you talk about the overall unemployment in our economy of 10 million people. But once you raise it, like as I'm saying, is once you raise it in this document here, you expect the department and the minister to do something about that, that you are raising. I don't know, but I've got two opposing views, and you then put me in trouble. Honorable Van Scalville.
Thank you, Chair. I totally agree with you, and I would therefore request that we close the subject for now and we move forward to our recommendations. Thank you.
Okay. 7.1, we have tried to craft a recommendation for it. The one that speaks to the Auditor General and fraud and the rest. And then 7.2, the department registered low expenditure on compensation of employees at the end of that, and then which was attributed to vacancy rate. Again, is there a recommendation that deals with unemployment due to vacancy rates? A recommendation that deals with vacancy rates in the department, as well as I think the other one, it was on CCMA. An honorable member should just raise a hand and assist us to move quickly. Honorable Teko.
I see for 8.2 and 0.3, unless you want us to match the two sentences and say all the vacant posts by the department and its entities must be filled.
It will be the ideal situation.
Yeah. We can match the two sentences, 8.2 and 8.3, because it deals with vacant posts, all of them. You just have to indicate the vacant post of the department and its entities should be filled.
So 8.3 is inclusive?
Yes.
Then which means it's 8.2, then must be dropped. No. 8.2, and then it just seeks to the chief executive office. then we just simply remove the other part that is included in 8.3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the last part that talks to ordinary vacant posts, then remove it so that 8.2 speaks to filling the post of the chief executive officer in SEE only. Is that clear? Am I becoming complicated, Honorable Tech? No, just look.
Saying what I'm saying.
I don't refuse. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying that 8.2, it talks about filling the chief executive officer of SEE. And again, it speaks about other vacant posts. Yeah? Okay, no, it's fine. Yeah, I see what you mean. All right, so that means 8.2 stays there, and then 8.3, then it is inclusive of all. Tech.
We were saying, my proposal would be to take off 8.2. We
yeah.
include, if we must be specific on the chief executive of CEO of
yeah.
that one, but it forms part of the entity unless my understanding is not the same. 8.3, it indicates the department and its entity. And one of the entities is that one
yes.
of SEE, which where there is a vacant post of a CEO. So
yes.
we just have to, if we must to emphasize, we can be specific on one on that entity, include on the entity, the prioritize the CEO of SEE. But it should be one sentence, we take off 8.2.
So 8.2 and 8.3 combined.
That's what I was saying.
Okay, fine.
Chair, further to that one.
Yes.
The last sentence in terms of 8.3, that we restructure that sentence to indicate that all government departments and its entities are encouraged to use ESA database for source candidates for entry-level posts. Are you with me?
To include
all government departments and its entities.
So
all government departments and its entities are encouraged to use ESA database.
If I understand on that last sentence, you are replacing other with the word all.
I'm saying, instead of saying the portfolio and other government departments, we should say all government departments and its entities are encouraged.
Okay. I hope that Ngobo understands. We remove the first part that says the portfolio and the other. You delete that. Then you insert the word all. Then after the word department, you insert and its entities. Agreed? Okay. This deals with vacancy. Vacancy in the department. All right. Then you... the net lag on the qualified audit opinion, then that has been dealt with. We have dealt with audit opinions.
Yes,
then CCMA reported that variance in expenditure, that is vacancies, we have dealt with. Then orthotic and rehabilitation service program of CFS, the budget allocation of that. And then we're speaking about non-expenditure here. Is there any recommendation where out of the 2.something million, they only spent 54,000? And then they said is there's only a chief director there, no other persons.
Chairperson, yes. Through you, I think we've dealt with that thing, that issue, when we spoke about the vacancies. Because remember that the commissioner mentioned there that it's currently only the chief director, so the rest of the positions needs to be filled. So we've dealt with that one.
Agreed. Then productivity SA. Then I think the biggest issue here, it is that non-funding of turnaround solutions program. That's the only thing, but it is due to lack of funding.
And we've also dealt with that one in terms of 8.6, the recommendation, the last recommendation, the funding challenges of productivity SA are timely resolved.
Can we expand that recommendation, especially in relation to what you talked about last week? Remember, we engaged them directly when they came to us, consult with us, and then there was some sort of a better recommendation here, because they were saying that they were going to they are meeting with the Director General, blah blah blah, and then they expected to be funded from the Director General other than other, this myriad of funding windows, which are unsustainable. Should we just simply say what we have said there, or can we expand it to be a little bit much more clear? Honorable Fanskalvi.
Chair, I think it's the generalization in terms of the funding challenges is fine as it's stated there, because material conditions might change, and then we would expect the next committee to make another recommendation and what. So we don't know what's going to happen in terms of the performance in quarter 3 and 4. So I think let's keep it like that, to be general, to say the funding challenges of PSA are timely resolved.
Agreed. Okay, fine. Fine, and then we have got the one on the non-compliance to safety in state buildings. And then or just before I go to that one, because it was a new one, and then when you look at the recommendations, no, already it is there on 8.4. Agreed? It's already accommodated.
Yes.
Yeah. Proceed.
When we speak about government buildings, can we add the relevant buildings, because we also talk about the labor, it inspect all the buildings. So Joseph, are we specific on this one, or we need to also to put the other buildings? But we know we need not to
need
be
to
specific, because that's what I'm saying, to say we can say that it can ensure that all government and relevant buildings comply to safety and standard.
Come in.
Chair, I just need to come in there. Remember, as the Honorable Begram just mentioned previously, we were worried in terms of the overall non-compliance in terms of health and safety standards of buildings. But we zoomed into the issue of government buildings, taking into consideration that there are issues, health and safety issues, with pertaining to government buildings, specifically, but also in terms of the CCMA buildings and other buildings that comprises within the portfolio of the Department of Labor and its entities. So that's why we singled out the issue of government buildings, because then we got the report from the department to say that it's not their buildings, they are not owning the buildings, but the buildings are being owned by Public Works. That's why we included this observation as a special item. So I think let's leave it like that. We've dealt with the issue of non-compliance of the other buildings per se in other sectors. Thank you.
Yes, one hopes that this includes even private buildings, but that have been rented for government purposes or government occupation, like the Lisbon building. Yes. Once that building is leased to Public Works for use by government, then it becomes government building.
No.
understand what is happening. Public Works Lease. Is responsible to provide accommodation for government departments. Mm-hmm. Now, Public Works has got its buildings. It built its own buildings. Or it rents buildings from private owners. And once it rents a building from a private person, then that building, then it is housing a public entity or a state-owned entity, like a department or whatever. And then that building then falls under our inspectors to make sure that building is safe. Then you can consider it to be a government building. Honorable Teko.
Chair, maybe for some other time, but once you are a tenant, you don't own the building. The department becomes a tenant. There is a landlord who owns the building. You don't rent, then you become an owner. The Rental Act doesn't allow that. You become a tenant. And the person who's responsible for the building is the landlord.
Yes.
In this case, the Public Works rent buildings from the landlord, who is private. And the person who must make sure that the building complies and maintains the building is not the department. The department becomes a tenant when it doesn't own the building. And the person who's responsible is the landlord. That's how the Rental Act it says. But I wouldn't debate it further. The recommendation is fine. Let's leave it like that. But you don't rent a building and you become an owner of the building. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Can we then strengthen this recommendation to say that the Department of Labor works with the Department of Public Works to ensure that all buildings occupied by government departments and its entities comply to safety standards?
No, it's fine. It is fine. It is fine. I think we can proceed in that fashion. Except, of course, just simply to indicate that Honorable Tego, is when you rent a building, and then in conclusion of the rental agreement, then you are given what is called an occupational certificate to occupy the building. The owner must give you occupation of that building. And then when you occupy that building, no, you don't necessarily become an owner legally, but then you are an occupant. Whatever fails in that particular building, the person that is occupying the building must raise it with the relevant whatever. But now what one is saying is that when Public Works rent that building, it has to do inspections on the building that it complies. And when there is a need to repair and do what, and then indicate to the landlord that the following is not complying in that particular building, then the landlord must get somebody to come and fix it. But the occupants in that building, which is a state organ or whatever, is not going to go straight to the landlord. It goes to Public Works, because the rental agreement is between Public Works as a department with the landlord. But the people that are occupying the building, it's not necessarily Public Works. I think that's what I just told, that's what I had to try and raise. I was not necessarily talking about the legal ownership. I was just talking about the occupational one, that they have got a right as a government department then to make noise to Public Works. And it is up to Public Works how they actually communicate to the landlord and then get the things fixed. But those that are occupying, their eyes are on Public Works. That's the operationally on the ground, that's how it works. But legally, the issues of ownership then is another matter. Okay, I think it's the last version, I think, it should be actually sorting out everything else. And then what are we left with now? On safety we have dealt with. And then on non-compliance with employment equity. And then I just simply remember also the comment of Bahram on that one. So how are we crafting the recommendation? I think it's honorable Van Schalkwyk should be able to give us the framework of the recommendation, and then you can add up some sort of flesh to it. The one that we talked about, the continuous non-compliance with Employment Equity Act.
No, Chair, the recommendation is there. The recommendation is there. That's why I sponsored the observation.
Yes.
In terms of the contravention of the, in terms of the Employment Equity Act. So we just need to observe that one so that it speaks to the recommendation that has been made in 8.5.
Yeah, but this recommendation, I think it's not necessarily corrective in nature. It is punitive. I thought that is it not advisable that we bring in a recommendation that talks to a corrective activity? Of course, we may encompass the punitive whatever where it comes to non-compliance.
Chair,
I think
our idea,
yeah,
in terms of that recommendation is correctly captured, because remember we said that we can't propose anything or recommend anything because it's been the concern was raised.
Yeah.
That the maximum permissible fines are too low. So we said then that it's outside of our mandate to propose other maximum fines, because it is in the Schedule 1 of the Employment Equity Amendment Act of 2014. It's captured there. So that's why we indicated that the best way would be to seek legal advice on how best to deal with the issue, whether we go around it with another amendment act, or a committee bill or something like that. But it would depend on the recommendation made by the legal people in terms of the legal advice on how best to address that issue of the maximum permissible fines that we find is currently too low. That's why there's continuous contravention of the Act, because employers doesn't see the need to comply because they can pay the fines.
Yeah, I do understand that, and honourable, no. Can you assist us?
I think what was raised by the department was that the schedule one of the EEA does not stipulate the minimum fines. It only stipulates the maximum fine. So, which leaves a lot of discretion to the judges. So, one judge made issued a fine that was low, and then all of them now follow that precedent. So that's why it needs to be reviewed and re-looked at the schedule one of the end. But yeah, legal advice is needed in order to address that.
Okay, you happy? Are we happy about that now? It's fine.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. I think with that, Chairperson, I would like to propose adoption of the report with the amendments. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody that agrees to that?
I'm going to oppose.
Honorable Tongwana.
Chair, I second the proposal to adopt the report with amendments.
Thank you. Anybody that has got the problem with that, Honorable Bechler?
Yeah, I'm going to oppose it on.
I'm going to be opposing it on the basis that there was no real changes to the committee observations, so I'm the minority report, if we can call it that. Thank you.
So it's Honourable Bahrain is wants us to record your objection.
Yeah.
Yep. And then.
No one prolong the
meeting. Yeah, you are not necessarily opposing. What is it called? Is you objecting? Yes, you're objecting to the report. Yes, then that the objection should be noted. But honourable members, thank you very much on this particular report. But in any way, it's, we have worked with Bahrain many times on many reports where he makes a lot of positive contribution. And then at the end, he refused to support the report, which includes even his own input. And maybe the next parliament will deal with that in terms of the rules of the National Assembly. I just hope that I don't come back, because if I come back, then we'll make that rule. That a member that makes serious contribution in a report will not have a right to object to the report. Because
I'm going to insist that you come back.
It's contradictory, actually. No, thank you, honorable members. And we really need to thank even Honorable Bachrin for the input that he has made. Although that he just actually confused things at the end. That, honourable members, then takes us to the updated legacy report. I'm sure you are not seeing the legacy report for the first time. What is that has been added in the form of updating it, Sponze?
Thank you, Chair. There isn't much that has been added in the legacy, except to note that the I'm just gonna go to the first edition, which is on 2 on the legacy, where we had up until the 5th of December 2018 we had 34 meetings. But now, since we've gone up to now, we've moved to 41. That is 2018-19. That column that has meetings held, we had before 34 meetings. But since January, we've added the meeting of the 16th January, the meeting of 13th January, 13 February, 20 February, 27 February, last week, the 6th of March, and today's meeting, which is the 13th of March. Plus, I've already, I don't know whether members will guide me on that one. The coming one, I've already added in that fourth one, the one of the page six, honorable member, number two, point number two, which says key statistics. On the table there, we've got a meeting held, which is a row number one, on the one, two, three, four, five, fifth column, where it says 2018-19. That's the number of meetings that were held in that particular year. I mean, yes, 18-19. So we had 34 since our last, when this was legacy was adopted, but now we have since added the meetings that we have held so far. I've already included the one of the 19th chair, so that's why I'm saying the committee will guide me whether to take that off until the 19th or rather leave it as it is. So now the total for the legacy, which is 2014 up until 2019, will be 150 meetings that were held. So that's the main thing that we've added on that one. And then going down again on point number five, which is legislation, we have since added the new bill, which is on the last row, which says National Minimum Wage Amendment Bill. Because up until last day, we had only the National Minimum Wage Bill, which was since passed, but now we've got this one, which the committee is dealing with, which says on the last column, expected to be completed by 19 March, which is next Tuesday. So that's what we've added so far.
Can you just press the mic so that we hear you clearly?
Sorry, that's the amendment that we debated, the mistaken amendment, or are we doing another amendment?
No, it's the same
one. It's the same one, yeah.
No, not there yet.
Yeah, okay, so yeah. So on the 19th, what's happening?
We're finalizing it. Remember that it was advertised, and then we're waiting for input from public and stakeholders. And in that period, I think it is closing on Friday. Mm. And then on Tuesday morning, then we should be having a report on the input that have been made.
And then we agree.
And then we finalize that technical.
And when does Parliament debate it?
And then it should be on the 20th, the next day. That is on Tuesday. We must actually deal with it. Or let me just say, we must pass it on Tuesday and get it AGC. And then on Wednesday, then we should have the motion to, I think it's, what is it called, to suppress one of the rules, suspend the 3-day rule, and then for purposes of this to be debated in the House on Wednesday, and then we all, together with DA, then we press yes.
Yeah, we will.
And then everything is finished.
That one I will.
And then in the sixth parliament, then the National Council of Provinces then comes and finalizes. And then it is finished.
Okay. Why am I not getting it done so quickly?
Proceed.
That is the update.
So that is the update that has been done on this particular report. Is that all, honourable members, that you think needs to be added as of today?
Just can I?
Yeah, you may proceed.
One little comment, and I'm not wanting to make this longer. On page 3, the first bullet point under number 4, that the 6th Parliament monitors the implementation of the amended legislation. I don't know if the committee is aware. But all those new legislation under UIF that we passed and Parliament passed and the President signed, it's still not implemented. None of it. So I'm underlining that the 6th Parliament monitors the implementation. We should mention maybe that in particular the new legislation that such as UIF, because people are claiming, we've all gone out, and I know COSATU went out and told all their members that they can claim paternity leave, but you still can't. And I know COSATU has been shouting at me.
Chair?
Just put the mic on and clarify if you have understood exactly what the Honourable Member said.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to bring to the attention of the members that on page 7, point number 5, where it says legislation, we have mentioned all the legislation that have been passed in this fifth parliament, and on the last column you'll see it mentions completed until we have the last one, which is the one we're dealing with on page 11, that says expected to be completed by 19th of March. So I'm not sure whether Honourable Bagrim says that it must be mentioned that they must be implemented on that point. Thank you, Chair.
No, well, one thing for sure is that when a piece of legislation is promulgated, it's because the department has seen a gap that needs to be sorted out. And it's in the interest of the department that when that piece of legislation has been approved, then they will implement it in order to close that gap. There is no department that can actually initiate the legislation just for the sake of initiating it, if it is not necessary. And then we expect, but at the end of the day as well, it is not all upon the department to implement the piece of legislation alone. Is that where you have got a piece of legislation that seeks to protect employees, we expect the unions as well as the employees themselves to be vigilant on their rights contained in each and every piece of legislation. So which means is that the paternity leave and all that, the relevant employees together with their organized labor must protect themselves on that particular right, and they must claim it. And only when it is being claimed that whoever is sleeping in the department will then be awakened. But ordinarily is that every piece of legislation, when it is promulgated and it is signed by the president, then there is a direct communication to the minister in charge. And then when the president signs the piece of legislation, there is direct communication to the department, to the DG, to inform them about the assent to that piece of legislation. And then that piece of legislation then becomes part of the proclamation that legislation is under your authority. And then it's expected for them to implement it. But like as I'm saying is, where legislation seeks to protect workers must make sure that it is enforced by claiming their rights when that their rights arises. In terms of that legislation. Bahram.
Thank you. But do we put completed if it hasn't been proclaimed yet? And that's the point. The point is I have written to the president. I know COSATU has written to the president. It hasn't been proclaimed. You still can't claim your parental leave through the UIF, and yet we're writing completed. And that's all I'm asking. I'm ignorant about that. I don't understand it.
Okay. But remember that we're talking about the legacy report of the Portfolio Committee. Is the piece of legislation gone out of the hands of the Portfolio Committee?
Correct. Okay.
If it has gone out, that means it has been completed. Honourable Van Schalkwyk?
No, Chairperson, that's also my understanding.
Yeah.
But also to emphasize what the Honourable Bagram is saying, we need to make sure it's that recommendation is just enforced to ensure that the sixth parliament makes sure that the laws or the bills that has been passed are indeed implemented.
That's what's on page 3.
Yes.
That's all I was asking now.
Yeah. Okay. It looks like now is there is congruence.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. If there is congruence and those that are congruenting then must propose and be supported and seconded for the agreement on the updated report. Honorable Tongwan.
Chair, I move that we adopt the report with the amendments.
Thank you very much. And then Honorable Bakram, just press the button.
I second this adoption.
Thank you very much for agreeing to it, Honorable Bakram. And honorable members, then the report is duly adopted with the amendment. But I think we must just make a proviso, honorable members. We must just make a proviso that so that we don't get confused. If it happens that on Tuesday and Wednesday, we fail to complete, then the final document then on page 11, is it 17 or 11? Where is it?
Yes, that's on that. Okay.
The number of meetings, yeah.
No. On page 11. On page 11 on that table at the bottom right-hand corner, where there is the word expected to be completed 19 March 2019, that is going to change. We must have that understanding that next week on Tuesday or Wednesday, on those 2 days, the correct reflection will be inserted there. It will talk about the correct situation. Is it completed or not completed? And that is the only proviso that we must just simply know that as we are adopting it, but there is that one little step that needs to be finalized there. And then otherwise, no other content will be corrected or adjusted, except that right-hand side corner only. That then takes us to the... Before we get to the end of the meeting, I really still want to plead, honorable members. On Tuesday, let us quickly correct and finalize this particular bill. And I would like that particular meeting, if it is possible, that it's held at 8 in the morning. Yes, so that by 11 o'clock we should be done, so that it can also go to the ATC. And then I must have an opportunity of running around the legal aspect of it, the tagging and everything, so that the next day then it must appear on the order page. And we should not really struggle about the quorum and all sorts of things that we ended up finding ourselves delaying the implementation of other things. Am I aware?
Yes,
speak to it. Speak to it. And before I take the meeting to an end.
Thank you, Chair. The chairperson has actually agreed that the committee can have an arrangement on Wednesday the 20th for a committee farewell, which means I'm going to send out a notification and email to say all the members that are available on the day, the 20th, can send their names so that for catering purposes we know how many members will be available for the committee farewell, and all the venues sent out on Wednesday the 20th.
What time?
I'm going to send the time and
the
it should.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be during some lunchtime. Yeah, because, you know, we just provide some good lunch, which you may not find in DA. No long speeches. No speeches or long speeches, but it's just simply the eating. The eating together, which may happen for the first time, I think. I hope that it won't be the last time as well with me around here. No, thank you very much. And then I hope that those that are organizing it then should release the information as urgently as possible so that we avoid conflict of commitments on that day. Thank you very much. Then that proposed lunch then brings us to the end of this meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Wednesday evening. I have made a special request for you, David.
For donuts.
Should I eat? Where? You didn't tell me.
It's a sweet tooth.